Now it makes sense.
Eat and drink. How fulfilling.
That's pretty fulfilling.
Grilled onion, grilled pineapple.
Are you inviting the rest of the team?
So who is not here? Cosby is not coming. Mamoku is not coming.
We correlated perfectly.
Okay, so everybody's here. So, first of all, I want to show everybody this beautiful magazine created by CW Post. Well, we have an article in here, so I'm going to pass this around and take a look. Oh, you got the mail?
Yeah.
All right, then.
Hanging
on my fridge. So that gives you a little bit of an idea about the possibilities. We had two people get vaccinated this last week. Maybe we can get an update on that. While I'm eating.
Still.
Well, you had a little bit of a story.
Sorry. Yeah, I just enough. She missed it.
She
missed
it.
I was like, great.
See, I knew
you were going to
hear this.
So she forgot how to do it again.
I was watching, so it was a little worse. I don't know, apparently I'm pretty bad because I didn't have any problem with me.
Well, they went to a questionable clinic, right?
She was awesome. She was really
awesome. Looked like the guy in the street, like, what do you need, typo thing?
Yeah, I would recommend her.
So does everybody have their tickets, plane tickets?
We have to go to the airport still.
Why don't you order them online?
They won't
order
them online. Or
I thought I had that same problem. I had to go
what
to JFK.
It was MasterCard. But you have to have a credit limit that would allow that kind of a purchase.
No, yeah, they won't order them. You've got the credit card.
It's probably that you have done it many times. Mm-hmm. Because most of Africa is flagged for credit cards. And they like need to see it and everything because of all the scams that come out of there.
Yeah, I actually called
really?
British Airways and spoke to a guy on the phone. He's like, there's no way you can buy it over the phone or online. You have to actually go to the
really?
Counter and buy it.
Did you call your credit card company to authorize it at any point? Did Belita do that and you don't know about it?
We were sitting on the couch last night. We did it together.
No, like in the past.
Oh, no. I don't think so.
They just know that, like,
I don't know how it worked, but we didn't have a problem with it. But I'm sorry to hear that. I would go to JFK ASAP. We wouldn't want you on another flight.
You want to, you know, in and out as quick as possible because the line is there. Mm-hmm. You can do it in under a half hour. Only
$30. Where did you go? Did you go to
British Airways
terminal?
Yeah, you go to British Airways. I think it's
which terminal? Seven.
Yeah, park there and run up. It's like go up there, all the way to the left, and find the surly woman who doesn't really care. don't you have to say?
Do you have a British accent?
But we have the same birthday, so you could bring that up.
What? You and Elaine?
Yeah. Different years.
British accent?
No.
Oh. All right, so there's that. And we're going to have a little synopsis of our team in the upcoming issue of the Participant Observer. So people be on the lookout for that. The two posters are going to be listed there. You are on another poster with Dr. Demaria. So you get two posters out of very sneaky. So I think you're the only one in this group, right? Or do you have
one? I got one in November.
Okay. All right, this is for this past year and upcoming. You for the upcoming year? Yeah. Okay, I didn't remember seeing your name. The other Deb. Oh, is Demaria listed on it? Okay, all right. Huh? It's not. I'm just being silly. Yeah. So I looked at the intercorrelations of you guys. Did you guys get a chance to take a look at the printout? And what I did was I took the averages of everyone's correlation with everybody else, and that's how I came up with the rank ordering that I did in the email message. So Brianna and who was it, Danielle?
Yeah.
Stephanie. Brianna and Stephanie had the highest correlation. So congratulations. So we got to work on improving, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to try to improve some more, because next week we're going to start with the real sample.
Can I have a question?
Yes.
Wait, do we have a full meeting?
No, we don't have a full meeting. We're going to have a partial meeting, though. We are going to meet, but is Hillary meeting?
No.
So maybe we could move it up. Maybe we could move it up.
Yeah.
That be okay? Are you available?
Yeah.
Okay. And are you out of time? This is it. What's that? Well, we're gonna have a party, but and we'll invite Tina. But we have to finish. You were invited always to come, but no one would pay you.
What time are we
going to
make it?
We don't have
class in the afternoon.
Next week we do
no?
have class.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, ish. We have the IRB coming to town.
Oh, Kitty is going to talk to you about it.
Yeah. Katie Rocket's coming?
Yeah.
For which class?
Research.
Nice. Okay, so you want to make it 4:45 to 6? And we don't have to go the whole time.
We have a weird schedule. This
semester.
This Thursday. Like a lot of weird things.
That's so
true. Yeah. I don't understand.
So you can make 4:45. Okay. Well, he's won our Distinguished Alumni Award.
Yeah.
And Jennifer's working at the Rebecca School with Gil Tippy, so.
I should probably go see the Distinguished Alumni Award one day.
Being a Distinguished Alumni. All righty then. Let's go to the case summaries. There we go. I can't get them all on the screen together, but and let's look at. I listed .804043 first, and the .812031 second. So you can take a look at some of the discrepancies. Since we have this one out, let's look at the ratings from 6 to 10. So we've got,
all twos.
Let's look at the second. Yeah, all twos. So we don't have to look at the first story, the second story here. Everybody's all threes. Third story, we just twos and then 2 3s. So Kasia and Deb had threes for story three. Yeah. Huh? No, she.
No.
Oh, we have
number
seven.
Eight.
She put it. No, we're on eight.
Oh, eight. Okay.
So the outliers are Kasia and Deb for that. And then the next one, the departure story, we got a lot of variability here. Let's look. Twos. So there are three threes and the rest were twos. So we can look at that one. And then 10, 333. All threes. So let's focus on the departure story. How about that? Where is it?
Thank you. Not yet. We have contact.
Is that all there is? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, now.
I was questioning if you would agree with that sense, but I support the two, I guess, because I guess I didn't know they were going to a different room. I guess they were just going to lay down. Like, I don't know. I think the clear definition of the sequence. Yeah.
To me, going to sleep would have been turn the thing there. Made a clear movement that sleeping takes place somewhere else.
Okay.
Now Eric is the only one representing the threes.
No, I put the three.
Okay. Deb and Brianna, you want to defend your twos? Defend your honor? Well, if I understand Eric's argument correctly, it's not a sequence because he did the dolls one after another. It's that they went from one room to another and they went to sleep. They walked and then they slept. Not that the dolls were in sequence.
No, I wasn't.
Am I? Yeah.
I just put it as a two because I thought he was using one doll.
Let's say there was just one ball, and they did the same thing. What would you score?
I didn't know it was going to.
Well, pretend you've heard what Eric has said, and there was only one doll in that story. How would you score it now?
A lot of the kids, they fall asleep. They literally just take them and they fall asleep wherever they are. There was a clear indication that sleeping takes place somewhere else than where they were at the time.
It wasn't clear. He did say it. He said they go something and then go to sleep, and you said, show me, and like he showed them going somewhere and then going. I guess it helped that he said it also. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it probably could still be agreed that he didn't say it, but for me, that made it clear that he meant.
We can make more specific directions in our rating system. We can say that if a doll character moves from one room to another and then does something else in that room, that's automatically a three. Mm-hmm. We can make up rules like that.
Yeah.
Oh, we just
kind of
get that,
though. I think I was going to enjoy about the sequence, though, so I'm glad I took that too. Also, I know I have a part there right now, but the way I saw it was, you know, the doll went into the other room, and then it got interrupted because now the other doll had to come into the room. So that the sequence was broken up and there was such, like some kind of illogical way that it happened. So for me, it didn't really count as a complete sequence because it was like the doll went into the room and stood there for a while. Or if it was another room, like I didn't get that. I don't know if the child actually said we're going into another room or if we're interrupting.
Well, we really shouldn't rely on verbal expressions to help us guide our scores.
So I get like walking to another section, but it was like the disjointed part that I figured, okay, is this really a sequence? Or like, I think, you know, if it was just one doll and that doll went into the room and then fell asleep, I would be more willing to get that, the three based on the fact that it's a sequence. Mm-hmm. But it was like, they had this one came, then this one had to come, and then this one had to, and then the first doll had to go to sleep. Like, it just seemed interrupted.
Well, if you just look at the grandmother doll goes in last and then goes to sleep, so if it was just one doll, you could just look at her. Mm-hmm. And she went to, and she, he actually put her down first, like, to go to sleep.
And I think he's the only one that interrupts the sequence, or myself, what happens next. Anything they do without a prompt, even if it's like stop and go, would technically be a sequence, I would think.
The child engages. The child engages in a sequential pretense linking two or more pretense actions, for example, feed doll and wipe mouth. Walk to room and sleep. I guess we count. You know, I've noticed with this particular kid, and this wasn't true for last week's kid, but this particular kid, all the scores are twos or threes. Now, that's not a very good scale. And I'm wondering whether maybe we could create a 2.5.
I'm very excited about that.
Would you like to share your thoughts about it?
Oh, not really, just that, actually.
Or just your excitement?
No, just Eric and I were talking prior to coming here, and I think we were talking about that some of these things are very nuanced and the limited amount of anchor points isn't allowing us to differentiate in a meaningful way that by adding another one, I think we can do that. So I think that's where my excitement came from. So we're just
talking. Okay.
What if we're like in a case, well, like in a case like this, if there's no clear symbolic representation of a separate room, like then you go around something or like set up a barrier so you know that's a separate room, that could be more of a 2.5 rather than a 3.
Nobody's ever done that, though.
But I think that would make reaching the limit a little more difficult in that sense because
it's just non-existent.
But there are other sequences.
You just cut off the band.
Because there are other sequences that'll happen, though. It won't just be go to another room, go to sleep. There'll also be like take the monster out of the bed and beat the monster up, or throw the monster out of the house. There'll be other threes available.
But is that... But because those don't require you to do something like that, you know, going... because it's a sequence that doesn't require you to create new walls or something, you know, that's not to say that that child, and we can be pretty confident based on the results we, you know, based on the totality of this thing, that no child was creating walls. So a child capable of lifting a bed that's actually there and moving a bed, you know, is not no better off than the child who, you know, does not create walls to navigate an imaginary home, because we don't see those walls ever.
The kids that we're actually going to be coding are younger, that there's going to be more variability, or because
there might be, but I think we could maybe add another level here. We could make a 5-level system, so that what I'm calling 2.5 would really be scored a 3, and what's currently a 3 would be a 4.
We could probably merge, keep it with 4 and merge 1 and 0.
1 and 0.
Because, I don't know, I would want to do that because for me, a 0 is when the kid just doesn't touch the dolls, okay? Versus a kid who goes like this to one of the dolls.
We're calling that, as far as symbolic play, we're calling that better.
Yeah, better than not touching the dolls at all, sure. That's a 1.
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, that's just acknowledgement that the dolls are there. I mean, I don't know that that's...
No, pretending to hit.
Like, interacting with them,
but not in the sense that...
It's like the equivalent of saying, comb the monkey's hair. Doing it to oneself.
Yeah, but in every case, just like in this task, we were like, show me with the doll. And then they...
Sometimes, I mean, in my experience, I don't know about their experience, but in my experience, some kids, you would say that, and even still, they would go like this with their own hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember much of that. I'm trying to think of, and we have a decent enough sample. What is this? This is the 4th trial we've done, which means the first one was 1, and the other 3, so we have 30, 35, and no one has put a 1 yet. We've coded 35 stories at this point, and there hasn't been a single number 1. And there's only been 1 0, for that matter.
But again, remember what Danielle just said, you know, we're coding 5-year-olds, which is the upper limit.
Of course. The age range. That doesn't mean it's going to be...
I mean, what would be the harm in having a 5-point scale as opposed to a 4-point scale?
What if we separated out 3A and 3B a little bit and made it, if they make a 4, if they engage 2 or more dolls in a sequential act, rather, you know, like kind of combine, keep 3 the way it is, but then make 4 sort of A and B combined, would that be any more skillful?
They have to engage 2 or more dolls in meaningful interaction and in a sequential pretense.
Yeah, like so.
But I thought we were more concerned. I mean, that's definitely true, and is more. But I thought we were more concerned about the nuance between 2 and 3, and the gap that exists there, than rather than building on top of what we have.
Also, I don't know that there'd be many kids who would be demonstrating 3A and 3B in the same story.
Oh, yeah, I haven't done the
trials,
interviews, or testing, so
I'm sure. That would be pretty unusual. Well, Brianna, do you feel up to adding another anchor point? I think, so the 3 here is the new 4. And the 2.5 would be the new 3, and just somehow describing the new 3 as sequential pretense, where the separate pretense actions are not necessarily so discrete. I'm not sure how to. I'm not sure how to phrase it.
I mean, if we want to say that, it would almost be like you're going to pull sequential action out of 3. Or out of the current 3 and make that its own thing, whereas the only way to get maximum value now is to have some kind of interaction. We're putting interaction over...
No, that's not what we're doing. I'm not saying the sequential pretense should be, marked the highest level. What I'm saying is that there are certain types of sequences that shouldn't be as marked, as rated as highly as others. For example, walking and sleeping probably shouldn't get as high a score as walking outside to the garden and then starting to dig.
Why?
Because I think that digging is a more, involves more pretense or more fantasy than sleeping.
Well, when you're leaving the house, you're understanding that there's another, like you're creating another environment. The child is creating another environment, basically.
But the child's choice is not, I mean, it's their story. And in their story, they've decided to go to sleep. And we're not negating them for how they choose to tell the story. We're negating them for how they choose to represent the story. And so, for you to value digging over sleeping, that's negating the child's, not symbolic representation, but their storytelling creativity as judged by this room.
So how would you add
an interpoint?
I would potentially then, as I said, you know, maybe we value is interaction the overarching. If interaction,
I don't think so.
I mean, you're the one who's the expert on the original coding system. So why didn't Tanis Lamanda value interaction over sequences of pretense?
I don't know, she didn't chop
that.
We chopped up a situation. The only issue was there's not as many other toys in the room like that, because a lot of the higher bounds there were using, like, the orange to represent the boulder sort of thing. And we don't give them that option. I mean, they could take that, but unlike in the original coding system, the extra toys aren't there for them at their disposal. So I would think it would be significantly harder for a child to decide, okay, I'm going to pull something out, I'm going to go get the monkey over here to use, as opposed to the monkey just happens to be sitting there, and I can use it as something.
So here you have symbolic play, self-directed pretense, clear pretense activity. So that we're rating as a 2 right now, right? And then the next higher level, other directed pretense, clear pretense activity directed toward the other. And the next one is sequential pretense, linking two or more pretense actions. So that's feeding a doll and wiping them out, or two puppets talking, which is the interaction. That's rated the same at an 8-point scale. And then the highest one is substitution pretense. Pretense activity involving one or more object substitutions. Pretend block is a piece of an orange. Pretend fork is a microphone.
We don't really make that easy for them to do. We don't have extra stuff for them.
Although there's stuff laying around on the table. I've had kids actually take things from other tasks and using them.
I didn't have
symbolically.
I had
it's rare. It's rare. Yeah.
But I just think we put them at a disadvantage to the children that were originally given that coding system, because they had a variety of toys at their disposal. We had a confined story. So it would be, I think, unfair to compare those two. We did. But that's a part of the reason I think it's out, even if not, that portion of it is not included. The highest bound in the original coding system is not in our coding system, because it's not that relevant.
You mean it's not represented in the same way?
It's not. Their highest bound involves a replacement of some sort. When they created it, they knew there were all these toys that could be used as replacements. We have a system that doesn't involve replacement. You know, the interaction and the sequential action is the top, in part because that's what we're looking at, but also in part, we don't, you know, had we given them a bunch of other toys, then replacement would be just as easy as it was, or difficult. You know, obviously it is difficult, because it's the highest level. But I think it is harder for these children who don't have the toys at their disposal than the children who did have the additional toys at their disposal.
And that's what I'm trying to go into this, trying to adapt the rating scale.
Totally, but I think
that a lot of the rating scale are self-generated.
But I'm actually saying you did a very good job. And
thank you, I wasn't seeing it.
Including the removal of that, because it's not that particular thing, I don't think, is that relevant to this task.
I would argue in favor of keeping things the way they are, because from what it sounded like everyone was saying, I think we all agreed that the ratings, like the system, whatever we have one higher than the other, is all what we kind of agreed upon. What people disagreed upon today was saying, I didn't know that was a sequence. So I feel like maybe if we just defined what a sequence was, we would all just go to the same. You know, like define
I hear you, but there's enough ambiguity to at least consider the idea of breaking up into two separate anchor points. That's bolstered by the idea that we're getting so little variability.
I agree. I think people would still disagree on what, from watching it, I don't know if I'm making any sense, but even if we broke it up into two, people would still disagree what category it fell under, because there's still the ambiguity of what the sequence is. Eric and I saw it as two sequences, so even if we broke it up into two, we might still code it as that by accident, because we were okay, that's just two sequences. So I think it really just needs a more clear definition, so that even if we do break it up, we still don't get
mm-hmm.
the
term. How about if we differentiate between active and passive sequences? So whereas walking and sleeping, walking I think would be more passive as opposed to in the slow juice story, they might clean up and get more juice, which would be more active, as much as a thought.
So walking is passive?
I feel like
sleeping is passive.
That's it. I mean, because they're always walking as opposed to there's
What are we measuring, though? Because either way, I feel like we're measuring the child's ability to represent their idea. And just because it's not as interesting sleeping, they're still doing a perfect job of representing mm-hmm. sleeping. Just like they can do a perfect job of mopping. And so I don't think mopping is better represented than sleeping. It may be more active process, but that's a different story entirely, I think, than what we're supposed to be measuring. Because then you could go to something not related, and then he flies off to the moon, and that's very interesting. And it's represented by that too. But we actually put that lower because it's not related to the story.
We don't think that there could be a higher benefit to try to work with what you're saying, something higher in the process of being able to represent juice that's spilled and then also the process of cleaning it up versus just sleeping.
But we don't know that the child can't do that. We're just looking at their ability to represent the story that they choose to tell. And you're giving them the option. If you ask them, show me cleaning up juice, for all we know, they could do that perfectly. So.
Okay, so they're just saying a clear definition of those sequences.
Yeah, basically. I think there's room for more minutiae in the differences, but I don't think we can value the child. I don't think we can put our own value on how the child chooses to tell the story, because it is about how the child represents the story they choose to tell.
Yeah, there's certain things that I think take hard work in them representing.
But that doesn't mean. But they made a conscious choice of how to tell the story first. So, if the child, you can't say that they, it. I don't know how I can explain this.
Well, better. I mean, also their narrative is also constrained by their level of symbolic play. They're not going to tell a story that exceeds their quality of symbolic play that they're...
The cow came in the room, though.
But he's able to tell that story because he had a quality of symbolic play that was higher. The symbolic play level constrains the type of narrative that can be told.
To me, that sounds like a justification for wanting to, value these. Because I think it's a very reasonable thing that the kids could go to sleep there. That this is what, when the parents leave, they could go to sleep. We saw it many, many times. And it may be what happens in their lives, so it's what they think of first. So
yeah.
I just am not comfortable
with that. Yeah, I think the important thing is that we're not seeing the zeros and ones right now, and a way that I'm
thinking of accounting for that. I might have maybe like mentioned this before. I don't know statistically how it would work, but maybe to break down the stories in like 30-second intervals, and then at each interval, put, you know, the highest level that you see, because we are seeing a lot of zeros, especially in the first, like, I don't know, 15 seconds, where they're doing nothing and need a lot of prompting and still really aren't.
I don't like that idea. I'll tell you why, because I think some of these kids are really shy, and so then what are we measuring? Are we measuring quality of symbolic play, or are we measuring shyness with the materials? And I don't want this to become a measure of shyness. I want this to become a measure of symbolic play. So I like the way that we're doing this. We're taking each story as a separate score, and we're scoring the highest level of symbolic play within each story rather than 30-second intervals. I mean, we had entertained that. You had presented a coding system that actually... Was it you, Danielle?
Mine was actually... Maybe it was Melissa. Anytime they picked up the doll, then it started, and then... whatever sequence they gave when they put the doll back down, then that sequence was scored. So then that kind of wouldn't be measuring time, because at least they would have, tried. But I mean, I feel like
it's a very complicated system.
Some stories are longer than others, and then you have to average them.
I think if we're confident, as I'm not necessarily, but other people seem to be, that because they're younger, we will get more diverse scores. I think the problem with these scores is we don't see ones right now. We don't see many zeros. But I think, you know, if we're confident that you're going to get more, you know, diversity in the younger group, and we are going to see ones and things like that, then I don't think it needs to be adapted at all. And I think it's fine.
So let's keep it the way it is, and we'll see how things go.
Do you think
that's
the case, based on your memory of the stories of the younger?
Yeah, I do think there's
going to
be lower scores.
We'll see
a lot more zeros.
I don't remember ones as much, but we will see a lot more zeros.
Where they didn't have any.
Where they just will not participate. Okay. There may be some where they just touched my memory from last song. It's not that strong, but I don't think we will see as many. I think we will see lower scores. At the very least, we will have an upper bound and a lower bound. Maybe not as rich a diversity as we would potentially like, but it's going to filter out into two groups, strong and weak, at the very least.
One is a very specific category.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's look at the other video. And the first two stories are pretty consistent, but the third story is not. Let's see what rest of you. So 3-3-2, 3-2-2-3-3. So that's one to look at. The monster in the bedroom. So let's look at the part chart. Departures all same. And the reunion 3-3-2, 3-2, 3-2-2. So, let's look at the monster in the bedroom and the reunion story. All right. We said what, monster and reunion?
Yeah.
Taewon needs to work on his expressiveness.
He's no Julius.
I had to think there for a minute whether he was engaging in a one here. He was going like this. Is he sawing something? But I don't know. It's just anxiety. And we have contact. So the child gets out of bed to make room for the dad beating.
Yeah,
so it's a sequence.
Yeah. Acknowledge that it's not beating the child.
Well, you know, actually what makes this easy coding is that once you get a 3, you can just stop looking at that.
Wait,
you don't have to look. You guys have been spending about 10 minutes coding? yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, right, of course. Well, hopefully you did when you're making your documentary.
Yeah, every week, 6 hours.
You're not a very good liar. All right, so who were the 2s? Let's offer some resistance to the 3s. Come on, 2s. Let's hear you.
I guess I still struggle with the, like, just holding the doll in your hand sort of thing. I mean, I think that's different than making the kid get up, walk out of the bed, and then hitting the bed where the monster would be. I still struggle with that.
I think regardless, the acknowledgement is that the kid is not in bed. Even if it's not like a good, and I agree, it's not like a good he got out of bed. But it's the acknowledgement that the kid is not there for the beating of the monster. You know, the monster is there, and the kid is gone. So I agree with you. It's not like it's a very good, like, get out of bed. But it's acknowledgement of exactly where the monster is. And the representation that if the kid is here, the kid's the one who's getting beaten.
No, I understand.
We actually is perfectly divided between the 2s and the 3s here, right down the middle there. Yeah. So, Stephanie, Deb, I'm going to offer any resistance to that argument? You did? Oh, you did. I'm sorry. You're right. So you jump over here. Deb, what do you think?
I was thinking the same thing as Melissa. I just didn't see us.
Again,
I think it's my, one of my clearer
thoughts.
That's been kind of confusing.
Okay. Do you still feel confused about it? Or are you feeling like it's clearing up?
It is clearing up. I'm writing them down.
Okay. All right. So should we look at the reunion? You think it is?
I had a wicked sunburn. Okay, so they're bowing to the parents, so that's an interaction? Is that what you're
doing? That's the question, isn't it? That's when that is a rule to be made.
I don't think I
gave
it
a 2. I gave it a 2.
But I can see the argument. If you want to say the acknowledgement.
We gave it a 3, but
gave it
for other reasons. For other reasons.
Oh, okay.
Because that they weren't both interacting, just.
That why he was.
Yeah.
Oh, he's looking. Yeah. How would say one know what the rest of us? All right, that's a 3.
Oh my God, I didn't even see
regardless,
that.
We talk about the first part.
Yeah, sure.
I
can
see a 2.5. Yeah,
like,
that's a good way to separate them, I think. If they're both anti-believing trees.
No, we agree 3 because there's touching.
I think a 2.5 would be more of like, one participant is actively engaging while the other is just passively. No, but he's touching the doll. Like,
yeah.
You know,
but then you're
both of being, you know,
one you're then you're
hold on.
But then you're
actively
engaging.
One is still doing something else. No, but he's responding by the doll there.
Yeah, being bound to.
Yeah. Right, that's all. Mom is responding to bowing back. So
can we make that a 3? Where there's an interaction between two people, but only one party is actively participating, the other one is a passive recipient. Well, if the kid is getting out of bed, all the spilled juice.
Actually,
why would we privilege touching it?
The child is still actively engaged in the activity. Yeah, he's a passive recipient of a beating, but they're engaged together. Whereas in that case, he didn't even have his hand on the other doll. The other one was just talking at it. And
there's also not much of a better way to symbolize mom being stuck. It's not like, you know, if there was.
I'm going to say they hug, then both can come together in a hug. If the child is beaten, that's one person doing it. And again, that's the best representation that you're going to see. And the child is, you know, reaching, I think, the potential of that interaction. And that's why
let's keep it the same. If you're bowing to another, let's make that a 3.
But then what's the beating then?
A
3.
No, we're not.
It's the same.
So active acknowledgement is the same as some of another doll. It's the same as.
We're going to classify that as an interaction.
Okay, so that was the 3 before we even got to the rock, and I never would have seen
right.
The rock happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's when it's like an intentional action towards another doll, whether or not the other doll does anything back. I just looked at it as like, what is a doll doing something to another doll?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I called it two at that point, but was like, we need to have this
right.
conversation about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I thought
but
about
it.
Like, I don't know if everyone's going to give it a three.
Yeah, give it a three
because
it's
yeah,
not right.
Right.
So
right.
We ended up at the same place, but we're different.
That
was
really
exciting.
I know, I got so excited. He's using a rock.
I know, I was really excited about that point.
How did that happen?
And I was actually
well, I think he asked for a rock. We weren't privy to that, but so people get it. People
mm-hmm.
think we're ready to code the real sample.
Yeah,
that's a vote of confidence if I ever heard one. Now we're going to divide people up into teams, and there were a couple of pairings that would not work. So. Dead with Eric or dead with Danielle just wouldn't work. So I'm not going to pair you for either of those. So you can be paired with anybody else, though. Do you have a preference?
No.
Let's see. You were most significantly correlated with Kasia, actually. So let's pair Deb with Kasia. And let's see.
Danielle and I were perfectly correlated on this one.
That's true. All right, let's do that. So we have Eric and Danielle. How about Brianna and Melissa? These are subject to change as well. And then we have Stephanie. And who's left?
Is Jennifer. Melissa part of this?
Huh? No, she's not coding. So.
Yeah, I mean, I can go through manually and see if we matched on this, because I might have a smart person.
You have yours up?
I have
we can
them.
Take a look at it.
Yeah.
So.
For the first story, I agree.
So we're going 804 is first and 812 is second.
Right.
We just talked about that one.
Right. And then for the next story, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3.
Wow.
We just brought up in one number. Okay.
Okay, so and you guys understand the reunion story.
Yeah, no, we said that.
So that was
Stephanie.
You got it? All right. So we've got Deb and Kasia, Eric and Danielle. We've got Brianna and Melissa and Jennifer and Stephanie. Got that? You're going to pass that on to Brittany?
Oh,
I'm going to do this like
tonight. See you.
Please.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll see you guys next week. 10 p.m. Tuesday night, or Wednesday night. Get your ratings to me. No. Yeah, 10 p.m. we're meeting. All right. Yes.
Oh, it's
yeah.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I mean, I'll be at work, so I can come on my break.
It's at 2 p.m. It's in the library. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I might bring this with me.
Oh, okay. All right. She's so overprepared, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, she doesn't seem like the type. like to be.
She's still good.
No, she's a great speaker, actually. All right, I'll see you.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. All right, cool. Do you know whether these are rewritable or not? Okay. All right. This is it? Right. Well, Brittany is not going to be able to do this alone, so. All right, can
I?
I'll probably hire you $10 an hour to help her with the summer stuff that we do, like the packets and all that stuff.
Because I have internships to out of school.
Oh, you do? What days are you on campus?
Monday to Thursday.
No, I mean this summer.
Yeah, Monday.
Oh, so you'll be around.
Yeah, I just got home.
Okay, maybe you could email me and let me know. All right, and then I'm going to invite you to our party. We're going to have a party. It's going to be on I think it's June 28th.
Is that Thursday?
Huh?
Is that Thursday?
Yes. Okay. You going to be around? Should be. Let me see. I just want to make sure. Yes, June 28th. Thursday, June 28th. Same time, 5:45 to 7.
It's not going to be at 5:45? No, 4:45?
It might. We have to talk about it. Maybe it could be earlier. I'll email you with the information. You have to come to that.
I will.
I'll try my best, I promise. All right, here.
I talked to Angelina about the Mac, and she said,